But dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just cannot wrap our heads how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, and how much you love us, Father. And we are so thankful that we are here today praising and worshiping you, Father. And we just lift this service up to you, Father. Let it not be anything from me or any one of us, Father. Let me just empty myself and let your words come through me, Father. Let the Spirit lead this service. And let each and every person hear what needs to be heard, Father. Each and every one take it to their own heart and apply it to their own lives throughout the rest of this week, throughout the rest of their lives, Father. We just love you so much, and we thank you, and we ask that you would bless this service. In Jesus' holy name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so this picture I was preparing throughout the week, and this is my little desk in my study where I'm working. Okay, and this was, I forgot, I was supposed to wait to talk about pastor appreciation. But for me, I haven't done this kind of work since I was in college. Okay, so this is what it took for me to work on 12 verses. 12. Talking about 12 verses today. And Pastor Cal asked me, he's like, what kind of resources do you have? And I said, well, I have my Easy Reader, New Living Translation, Life Application Bible. I have a John MacArthur Study Bible. I have a commentary from the Dallas Theology, it's what I called the old. It's old. It's old. The last publication, or one I have, is in like 84. And I know it's not that old, but first publication was like in 62. And when you see the authors on there, they were old then. So it's old. So what I have here is, well, you know, Ray, I'm trying to tread a light stone here. I don't want to say anything other than it's older than me. How about that? So Pastor Kyle says, these are what you have? And he said, yeah, oh, I've got all kinds of stuff for you. I'm like, great. I figured a little pamphlet, a little something. The man gave me a book on James. Book. Just on James. This is the old. He sent me 82 pages on James 3, 1 through 12. 82. My own notes with a lot of scribbles and highlights. My Easy Reader up in the top left. My James Bible study that some of you are involved with. That helped too. Or from Johnny Mack. My old NIV Bible back here on the bottom buried, which is what I have here because it's the smallest one I have. And now if I'm going to carry it around and walk and preach with it, I think that's the deal. I know Pastor Cal's been reading out of the English Standard Version, which is the other Bible right there. That one's huge. It's heavy. I'd probably drop it, which I might drop this one too, but you never know. So what this was for was that, and I was here day after day. Thankfully, I had the week off. Holy cow. You know what I mean? So this was meant to show you what a pastor goes through to bring us a 25 or 40-minute sermon every Sunday. This is just to show you how hard they prepare and how serious they take it. So this was meant to be for pastor appreciation, just to remember what happens for us, okay? So that's really the only slide I have. Your handout is what I have for the rest of the time up here. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and read our verses today, and it's out of James, verses 3 through 12, and it's on taming the tongue. So just follow along. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So there you go. So has anyone in their life, now I'm gonna preclude this by all examples given are mine. I'm not pointing any fingers at any of you may or may not have done this, but it's all from me. So have you ever been in a situation where you said something awful about somebody? Okay, Ray, thank you, brother. Not the only one. But in a situation where you knew it was so awful that, this is what happened to me, that it was almost like visible, like time stopped. My face, I felt, just burned, okay? Because I knew, I was convicted right off the bat. Why I said it, I don't know. Was I thinking? No. Did I think before I spoke? No. But it's so awful that everything is in slow motion, and I can almost see it in the air, hanging there in all its ugliness, in all its stank, in all the hurtful things that it means, and I so badly want to reach out and pull it back. Speech is crazy because it happens so fast. This is probably one of the easiest ways we can sin. Why is that? Because we're speaking all the time. We're always talking. Okay? So, the types of speech I'm talking about are things like bragging, or boasting, or lying, flattery, slandering, gossiping, cursing. This is a long list. There's still more. Passing on rumors, shading the truth, arguing, yelling back at people, talking behind their back, being sarcastic. These are all some of the things that me, as a person, have a hard time controlling. So this is what we're talking about today. How do we tame the tongue? This is what James is saying. So James, again, we're coming off of, I believe last week was idle faith. Okay, we're a new person. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in God, that Christ died for our sins, we are a new person. It says it in Ephesians 4, okay? And let me just go ahead and be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, okay? So that's where we stand. That's where we are. Now, we're going through a process of sanctification. This is what happens. You know, we're becoming more and more like Christ. And there are some hard roads ahead of us, and some of our speech is part of it, okay? We're going to stumble, but you got to learn. You got to think before you speak. And so what James is saying, like idle faith, if you believe in Christ and you're a new person, you will show it by your works, okay? That was in chapter 2. You just can't help but be new and something different. You just can't help but love to know what Christ did for us. And that picture of Christ holding that cross on his knees, it just breaks my heart. Every time I see anything like it, I can't even watch The Passion of Christ anymore. When I think about things that have been done for me, I got to be a new person. I got to be a better person. So we're moving into now what James is doing is talking about idle speech. And it's the same thing. If we're a new person, we have to mind how we speak to other people. Because, again, this is a testimony. This is a testimony of your faith. If you say you're a Christian bearing Christ's name, you've got to show that each and every day. It's got to be on all the time. Your Jesus has to be put on all the time. Show them your Jesus, right, Vicky? So that's really hard to do because we get angry, we're frustrated, we're tired, people upset us. So to be a Christian, we have to bridle our speech, okay? The tongue itself It's said in our passage, it's a wicked little thing. And it's sort of, I was read somewhere in some of that it said it's a tattletale of your heart. Okay? It brings out what your heart truly feels. And, you know, we can just flip back one page to James 1, 14 through 15. That's where sin originates, okay? But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Okay, so sin originates in our heart. And the tongue sort of just tells what we're thinking. So we have a changed heart, man. I mean, we got to walk around and think about what we're doing if we're going to represent Christ. So each and every moment, each and every day, each and every week, we're a testimony to what was done for us and what we say we believe. So this is what James is talking about. So if we are Christians, we need to be able to have a bridled tongue, or we need to be able to watch what we do. It's demonstrated by our speech. In Scripture, some of the adjectives that are, you know, describing the tongue is wicked, deceitful, perverse, filthy, corrupt, blasphemous, foolish, complaining, contentious, sensual, and vile. Vile. That's just disgusting. So these are some of the things that, you know, our wicked little tongue is. So let's break this down. I have this going from verse 1 through 5, and we're just going to say that the tongue is powerful, okay? So, not many of you should presume to be teachers, okay? Real quick, teachers, obviously, being in the time that James wrote this, a rabbi, someone of high stature and prestige. So, it could be conceivably seen that people would want to become a teacher, because you're living the high life, you're up there, you've got a good job, you know, it's prestigious to be a rabbi. So he's kind of warning against, hey, this is not what it's about, okay? Not all the people that would become teachers, they might not have the moral or intellectual qualifications to do that, okay? So he's warning people about becoming a teacher or a rabbi or a shepherd of others, because, as we see, you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. All right. Judged more strictly. Is he talking about, is he scaring people away from becoming a teacher? I don't think so. Okay? He isn't. But what he's trying to let them know is that, again, speech is the easiest way to sin, so teachers are talking all the time. Teachers are ministering to people. Teachers are ministering to a flock. People are on the streets, in the synagogue, or however it happened back then. They're always talking. And so the ability to possibly sin is greater, especially when you're carrying the gospel, preaching the gospel, talking about Christ. We want to be true to the faith. We want to be true in what we teach. So you don't want to lead others astray by teaching false truths. Okay, so he's just saying, beware. You know, a teacher must exhibit the fruit of their faith by the way they live. Okay, a little bit of integrity there. We've talked about it many times. I can come to church on Sunday, say I'm a Christian, do all the right things, but if I'm out there swearing out another person on Tuesday because I'm upset that he put this over there and that's not where I asked him to put it, what kind of testimony is that? You know, what kind of control do I have over myself? This is, you know, we're new people. We shouldn't be thinking like that anymore. So he's just letting people know that you could be judged more strictly. Luke 12:48. Jesus said, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So we know that teaching is a gift of the Spirit. Okay? So there will be a lot to be accounted for from a teacher. He will have to answer for every word spoken, like the rest of us, but to a different degree. All right. So he goes on to say, we all stumble in many ways. Again, sin is easy to do. Speech is one of the easiest. We're constantly talking. But there's so many ways that we can sin that if anyone doesn't sin, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, who doesn't sin? We're human, okay? We can refer back to James on 2:10 that says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all the law. These are our thoughts. These are our words. These are our actions. Any small deviation from God's will is considered sin. So he's saying we all stumble in many ways. If anyone never is at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man. Wow. Any one of us, we're talking about hasty speech here that have dire results. You know, if we don't stumble, if we don't curb our tongue, if we don't think about what we speak, you know, think about what we say. My father always told me, did you think before you spoke? And I'm like, well, obviously not. You know, things came out real quick, okay? That's called hasty. You know, from a wise man named Solomon, you know, those proverbs are awesome. Do you see a man who speaks haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. He's kind of one of those folks that just, like James, slaps you right in the face. Okay? He calls it like he sees it, all right? And then, right, you know, if anyone's ever, he is a perfect man. Who's perfect? Any one of us perfect? Nobody's perfect. As Pastor Cal said, if you're perfect, I'm going to mess you up. You know, that's hilarious. That cracks me up. It's so true, though. You know, so a perfect man as we know it is Christ, the one who didn't sin. A perfect man, he's talking about being fulfilled. It's, again, this is like sanctification here. We become more like Christ. So as we get older, as we should be growing from day to day to day. All right, from week to week. We should look different now than we did 2 weeks ago, than we did a month ago, than we did last year. We don't want to be stagnant. We want to continue to grow. So we want to continue to strive to be a perfect man, which we'll never see on this side of heaven. Okay? These are fulfilled people. This is a mature and complete person is what he's talking about. Okay? So he's saying, you know, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check, able to be able to say the right thing, to speak the right. You know, none of us can do that. This is what he's trying to tell us. All right, this is a little bit of imagery. If you are this, then you should be able to do this. You should be a perfect man. You should be able to walk that line perfectly. We can't do that. And this is what James is trying to tell us, okay? Now we're moving into the imagery part of things. And he uses things, he's comparing this to that. It's kind of interesting because, you know, back then he was using things of his time. Well, some of those things are still of our time. And you know, he's using beasts and boats and fire, okay? And how we either do or don't control them. So he goes on to say, when we put the bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole body. Now, I know a lot of you have animals, but I cannot pass up an opportunity to talk about my horse while I'm bringing you the word. Okay? So, if you're not familiar with a horse, my mare is about 1,000 pounds. That's a whole lot of animal. Okay? And I went out to feed her this morning, and I put my arm over her back, and her withers come to about right here, honey, right here. Lean right on her. So she's huge. I mean, you know, that's a big animal. I'm 140 pounds. She's 1,000. So it's a huge beast, and she can be a beast. A bit is approximately that big. This is my pen. Okay? And it breaks in the middle, so there's two pieces to it, and it goes in her mouth. And what he's saying is you have this ginormous animal that you're controlled by such a small little thing. What's the imagery here? We're big. Our tongues are small. What controls us? Okay? So he's saying if you put this bit in the mouth of a horse, you can turn it from being unwilling to do anything or to complete its job or task by being able to put this in here, you can lead, or the horse will obey you to turn where you want it to. Okay? So this is the imagery that he's using. We've taken this giant animal and we're able to turn left or right, or my horse in another story. Not necessarily left or right, but you know. Yeah. We go backwards. And that's, you know, it helps control the animal. Okay? So again, he's talking about control over our tongue. Tongue is powerful and we need to control it. The same idea with the rudder in the very next verse. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong wings, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Okay, now, I don't know what they had on their ships, but our ships are huge. You've seen a Maersk cargo ship, and they stack thousands of containers on there. I mean, I was reading somewhere in there that the man was on a naval destroyer that was 563 feet long, full up with helicopter pads and missiles and this, that, and the other thing, and it was controlled by a small rudder. Okay, again, the imagery here is without question something small controlling something so huge. But they are driven by strong winds. Okay, this is like our life. Our life has ups and downs, huge gale forces, you know, and things like that, and they are guided by a pilot. So the imagery I see there is that life is hard, and the tongue is kind of always going against us, but yet if we have our faith in Christ, okay, if we trust in Christ, he's our pilot, he's going to help guide our lives. Straight to the point. Just guide our lives, okay? Bits and rudders are equal to our tongue. Horses and ships are equal to our body. And pilots and obey, when led by Jesus our Master, our will, our desire can be used for good. Okay? So, the tongue is powerful, but we would do best to think before we speak. We would do best to know that it's small and it can be wicked and evil. But, you know, if we trust in Christ, have patience and think before we speak, it can do amazing things for God. It can be a great tool for glorifying God. Okay? All right. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. If the tongue could talk, it would actually say, look at me, look at how much I can control. I've got this whole guy dangling or wrapped around my finger, if the tongue had a finger. Okay? So it's, again, it's a small, small thing that can legitimately make great boasts. It can give a great speech. It can, you know, 47 years ago, Abraham Lincoln, who doesn't forget that, right? You know, this day will live in infamy. Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Or did I say that backwards? No, it's right on. All right, so 3 for 3. These are all things that we remember, that we've all learned, right? And this is done by the tongue. I have another one, but through one of the devotions I read, it's probably not appropriate at this time. So it can make great speeches. It can make great boasts. It can do great things. It can do evil things, okay? Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. We know how destructive fire can be, okay, when it's not under control. Acres and acres and thousands of acres of forest were burned this year, last year, you know, set on by, you know, dry conditions. So, again, he's using this imagery that a small spark, you know, can set a whole dry forest on fire. And it's just, it can be like a rumor. We've all had to deal with rumors in our lives. So a small spark hits a dry forest and it just rages out of control beyond the ability to keep it contained. Homes are evacuated. People are moving out of the house. Thousands of acres are destroyed. a rumor started by a tongue can be the same thing. It can ruin a person's reputation. Okay, and it can be done in so many different ways now. You know, I wanted to bring up the part that it's just not our tongue. We now have things like emails. We have social media. You know, we have things called cyberbullying. You know, you may think it's funny, or they may think it's funny at the time, but, you know, a person can carry that for the next 4 years of their life, and it could be through high school. And that's awful and mean and hateful. All for what? Okay? The email scenario happened to me while I was a believer. It was a bad day for me. I was trying to set something up. I was frustrated. I was at work. It was an email that had more than one person involved. So I was emailing, say, my wife, and I was part of a conversation putting something together over here for church. And a comment was made in the conversation aspect, and I responded to the comment. What I thought was to my wife. Again, my experiences, none of you guys, okay? But I'm trying to be transparent in how awful this can be. And when I hit the send, what did I do? Okay, so that's awful. It broke my heart because the people I hurt, I loved. And I didn't, in my haste and anger, I hurt two people that are dear to me. I hurt two people that didn't deserve such a thing. And to this day, I regret it, and I don't feel like I can make it right. But in God's grace, through them, they showed me how good God is and how much God loves, that they were forgiving, okay? And the relationship moved on from there. But it still breaks my heart. What kind of person am I? It was to the point where I told the pastor that I was ready to resign as a deacon, and I was told by the pastor that I will not tread where the Holy Spirit is already tread, where he's already dealt out my punishment. And by God's grace, these people are amazing. And what it was for me was part of my sanctification. Okay? It was part of me growing. Apparently, I wasn't getting it with my tongue. And I was hurting others and still saying un-Christian-like things, but calling myself a Christian. So, you know, God is so good. Sometimes I really need a serious slap across the face. Yeah. So, evil tongue happens a lot of ways, okay? Just be aware of that. Be mindful. You know, we're in a new age, you know. The cyberbullying is horrible. Just the people it destroys, what everything else. I mean, wow. All right, so not only does the tiny tongue, like the bit and the rudder, possess power all out of proportion to its size, it has the potential to bring disaster like the tiny spark in a dry forest. But when we give ourselves to Christ to lead us, our tongue can be used for good. Okay? I'm really thirsty. So, I'm moving on to James 3, 6 through 8, the tongue is perverse. Okay. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All right, just again, going on with a lot of imagery here. Fire, again, with the destructive consequences, the disastrous effects, but the world, it is world of evil that kind of caught my eye, and that a lot was spoken about in all the commentaries. It is a world of evil. That refers back to our fallen world, okay? That's Satan, the worldly things, the worldly lust, the fallen world. It is a world of evil. It's a sinful world. It's an unrighteous world. Okay? We all know who's the Lord of that. Okay? It corrupts the whole person. Corrupting being defiled, pollution, defilement of personality. It is destructive. It is ugly. We're set in a world that is constantly at odds with what we believe. Throwing awful shows in our on our TV, calling it prime time. The list can go on and on, okay? It is not what our Lord and Savior wants for us, okay? Matthew 15:11 says, "What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." It's what defiles us by what comes out. It sets our whole life course. You know, this was talked to me, or I read about this, and it said it's like the wheel of life, the birth of origin. It sets the course for the rest of our life on how we react and how this tongue is going to, you know, think about little kids. You know, my mom, God bless you, it was, you know, we were taught very young that, you know, you show respect to your elders. And when you sass, you pay the consequences, okay? But nowadays, or, you know, she hauled off and slugged me, hit me, slapped me, okay? She was quick. She was like a ninja. That happened that fast. But it was right. It was, you know, it was good parenting because I was sassing. You know, my tongue was saying hurtful, evil things about my mother, whatever it may have been at the time. Okay, so it starts young. Kids learn how to talk back to their parents. Course of life is what I'm going with here. You know, moving on into school, you get cliques and kids talk about other kids. Moving on up the ladder into school, I mean, it's just, you know, you say something about one person that's not true, and again, the rumor starts, and then the whole, it just can be awful. So it sets the course of your life, and then it can go on up as you go up the ladder. Some people, you know, the ladder of life, the wheel of life, you know, again, can't serve more than one God, so maybe it's their career or whatever they're after. You know, they stop at nothing. They'll say anything. Do anything. So this is, again, it's setting the course of our life right away. It's destructive throughout our life, all along. Okay, it's a little thing. So hard. Maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all are under control with your tongue and stuff like that. But me, I'm thinking about my whole life and all the things that have happened up here. And if I could just spew it all out to you, you'd be like, man, what is wrong with this guy? So. It is set on fire by hell. And what we talked about in hell, or what I learned here in hell, again, we've heard the Gehenna. Am I saying that right? Okay. The Valley of Hinnom. It's the trash dump that was outside of Jerusalem. It's where all the trash from Jerusalem was brought, and the fires, they burned it, and it was nasty. But it's not only that. It was earlier when Israel was falling away from God that they worshipped a God that required child sacrifices. And this is where all that happened, okay? So this is a horrible place. Get that picture in your mind, this nasty, you know, if you've ever been to a dump, maybe you haven't, but I have, it's nasty, it's dirty, it's stinky. Okay, it's death over. It's a fire is constantly burning to get rid of this trash. And maybe none of you have ever burned trash. You know, trash does not smell the same as good seasoned firewood. I'll tell you that. It is nasty. It is nasty. Burning Pampers and plastic and, you know, anything else. It is awful. We have a neighbor, and we love him. But they've been there 35 years, and they've been burning their trash. Unfortunately, the way the wind blows at our place, we get it all. So this vision of hell itself and the way it was described in my studies of Gehenna, I got that. I got it a lot. And then when I was a kid, we lived by, well, not by, but there was a dump that my dad liked to go to. My dad, you know, he's the original Sanford and Son. I don't know. He treasures another man's junk, you know. So we went to this dump, and I saw how nasty that thing was, you know. So put all that together. This is set on fire by the very, by hell itself, you know. So our tongue is like, it's possessed. It's got the devil has got the control over it, you know. It's the devil. You know, it's Satan's influence. The imagery of Gehenna, child sacrifices, trash, burning, blah, ugh, it's awful. So, you know, we've got that imagery from James talking about our tongue. You know, he's just letting us know that a child of Christ is a new person and that this is how we're not supposed to act. And if we do, we need to change it. And it's hard, but we've got God to help us, okay? So he's given us a lot of visual, and maybe I'm being more visual, but a lot of visual pictures here and what it's like. It moves on to all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. You know, this is just a quick reference to the human species is subduing the animal world, which is our right, which was given to us in Genesis 1:26. You know, God even told us, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So this was natural, okay? It's supposed to be that, but we've been able to tame all these things, you know, to make an elephant walk in a circle with holding another elephant's hand, you know, to make a lion, the king of the beasts, jump through a ring of fire, or however you want to see the image. But, you know, we have domesticated animals. We have domesticated bears that we can shoot a movie with. You know, I mean, wow, look at all the things that we can tame, you know, but God gave us that ability to do that, okay? But no man, James is saying it's impossible to do this on our own, but no man can tame the tongue without Christ. No man can do it. With Jesus, we can glorify God with our speech. On our own, I don't know about you, but I have 51 years of decisions I can look back on. Okay, 41 years of decisions since I've been a believer for 10 years. But in there, I still obviously make mistakes and learn from them. So it's a restless evil, okay? No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, a restless evil to me, you know, you can't relax. Imagine just, I don't know, some movie animated awful creature, some awful thing that's on TV now that's ugly and lots of teeth and scaly and stinky and muscle bound and just, get your own picture in your mind because I know what I'm thinking, you know, but it's restless and it's angry. How about this? This popped in. Any of you guys use a chainsaw? Any of you gals? I mean, a chainsaw, okay, all right. You start that thing up, and you just see what it can do. It's just this little machine, you know, a little motor and a long arm, and it's got teeth. Every time I start it up, you know, and you rip through a log. I mean, that log is harder than my bone, you know. A log is harder than my body. So I just watch it do this thing, and I set it down, and it's just idling. It just seems like a very angry little machine. It's just angry. Okay, it's restless. It really wants to go after what it's supposed to do. It's like, let me loose, you know. So that's mine. That's what I see. It's, you know, just put that in a cage and make it really ugly. So it's a restless evil. It's tense. You can't relax. It's volatile. You never know what's going to happen. It could do anything at any time. Okay. And it's, pardon me. Wow. Yeah. I'm trying to be visual here. It needs a cage. If I could take my chainsaw and put it in a cage, I'd feel a little better when I'm not using it. You know, so little sidebar, off note, I have a friend that said, can we come and get some wood? And I said, sure, we have a boatload of it. We live in timber. And I said, all you got to do is, you know, you got to cut it, you know, and I wanted to say, you know, sign this waiver because anything that happens, you know. So they have their own chainsaw and they show up, and I was really concerned because, well, there was no gloves and there was no eye protection, and they had a smallerish chainsaw that they borrowed, so it's really not even theirs. So maybe, you know, they don't know the nuances or their temperament of it because angry little machine. But the thing that killed me was they were wearing sandals. No, it was not Brent. Okay? Was not Brent Bell. You had boots, brother. Okay, there. So anyway, it was there. It was. The chainsaw part of it wasn't part of my notes, but then it just let the Lord lead me. So, full of deadly poison. Okay, you know, let's just make reference to it. Deadly poison, I don't know. When I think of deadly poison, I think of a snake. Snake scares me to death. You know, I think of a serpent. I think serpents are evil. I don't like them. And then the imagery there is just plain for me. Y'all can use what you want. But full of deadly poison. Psalm 140 makes my point. They chose to say, they make their tongues as sharp as serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips. There you go. You know, this again is referring to the type of speech up above. You know, we're talking about gossip. We're talking about hateful speech. We're talking about spreading rumors, or sarcastic, you know, bragging, boasting, not telling the complete truth. This is all a sin. So, you know, venom of hate and death-dealing gossip. Someone wrote that in there. So this is not mine. The tongue is difficult. It's crooked. It's contrary. It's unreasonable. It's uncooperative, stubborn, or perverse. Okay, those are all synonyms for the word perverse. And it needs to be corralled, like in a cage, like behind our teeth, like with the Lord our Savior. So, the tongue is polluted. That's my time. Okay. The tongue is polluted. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. This is really interesting to me. So on one side, again, you get the image of a forked tongue, a serpent, or a person talking out of both sides of his mouth. When I heard that as a kid, I didn't understand what that meant. But we know now. You know, saying one thing, doing another, telling a person one thing, and telling someone else directly the opposite. Okay? But with this tongue, we have positive forms of speech. We praise, we worship, we honor our Father in prayer. These are wonderful things that can happen, okay? Psalm 95:6. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care, okay? So we are praising and singing and worshiping and loving our Father with this tongue. But on the same side, we turn around and curse our fellow man. Now, curse back then in ancient times was not only just, you know, foul language, but you were asking God to not let this person have any more blessings from God and actually condemning him to hell. Okay, so that's what cursing was back then. So, same mouth over here on Sunday, I'm praising and I'm worshiping, and I go to work tomorrow. And I let my tongue fly with no bit or bridle, no cage, and I curse my fellow human being. Who is what? Amen. Made in God's image. So, what are we doing? In reality, we're cursing Him. We're praising God, and we're cursing God at the same time. He is the object of both of these expressions. That is not right. That cannot be. Okay, the next verse. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. It's just such a contradiction. Not only in just regular life, but in our Christian life, your testimony is shot. You know, and people who are not Christians or know that you are a Christian, they're watching you. Every word you say, everything you do. And again, easiest way to sin. So he's making these comparisons and he's pointing out such obvious truths that, you know, it's a slap you right in the face kind of moment. You know, we have been transformed by the Spirit of God. Double-mindedness, a pure heart should have consistent speech, should have consistent pure speech. Again, right back into James, his very same letter in 1:26, says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. What a gut check. You know, I've had many of those. Again, that one that broke my heart, that continues to break my heart when I think about it. Wow. All right. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh fruit. So these are rhetorical questions he's asking. He's expecting you to say no, right? You know, I don't go to an apple tree to get an orange. I don't go, you know, it's just the order of nature is what it was told, is what it said. The consistency of nature, rhetorical questions, the answer is no. A believer's tongue should not be an instrument of inconsistency. We should not look for figs and get a grape. Colossians 4:6 straight up says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Okay? Quickly wrapping this up here. Small and influential, the tongue must be controlled because it's powerful. Small and influential, the tongue is powerful, so it must be controlled. The tongue is perverse, so it's satanic and infectious, and it must be corralled. Salty and inconsistent, the tongue must be cleansed. Okay? So, final things I want to say would be, before we speak, ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? You know, these are simple things, and if you really apply that, you know, we could probably pretty well mind our tongue and walk a pretty good path. How about if they're not standing in front of you, maybe you shouldn't say it. You know? So. How simple is that, right? If we could only apply that. Right. So this is what James has brought us today in our word. Thanks for putting up with me. And what a... give me that. Just remember your pastor, okay? I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll have the team come up and do our worship song, and we'll open the altar. You know, anybody that needs to do business with God, as it's called, please come up and spend time. Anybody that wants to pray, pray together, pray for, pray with. You know, this is what our body needs to do. Let's love on each other. Let's pray with each other. Let's be a part of each other's lives. You know, so... Father, I just thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to have.